Right. 57. New believers in Jesus Christ. You think about what we do here. We have a wonderful time. We come to praise the Lord. We come to learn. But church is for the believer. Church is for the believer. For the biggest part, if we really, really want to bring people to the Lord, we got to get outside the church. Church buildings. It has to not stay. It has to go into the garages, into the mechanic shops. It has to go under the bridge to the homeless. It has to go into the military if we really want to fulfill the Great Commission. We're just having fun here. We're just learning. Amen? I hope we're going to learn today. I hope I can teach you some stuff that I've learned. I'm in, what is this, number 12? Number 12, and I know I said I was going to finish up this week, but I'm not. Probably a couple of more Sundays on living with a margin. We're still on Secrets of a Productive Life right now. And last week, let's see, where am I at here? Here we go. Last week we talked about John 15:8 says, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." The Bible word for productive is fruitfulness. Fruitful. And I went on down and said, bearing fruit brings glory to God. Bearing fruit shows that I'm a disciple. God wants me to bear much fruit. So he wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to be productive. John 15:16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last." We're supposed to bear fruit. Amen. It's what, if you're not bearing fruit, something's up. Bearing fruit is the purpose of my salvation. A truly productive life is one where the fruit lasts. And I gave you four kinds of fruit. The fruit of repentance, fruit of the Spirit, fruit of another Christian, and the fruit of ministry. All that was on last week, if you want, or 2 weeks ago. Didn't Jeff do a good job last week? Yeah. He really did. And that's who you're going to be sending out. The seriousness of not bearing fruit. It gets real serious when you think about this verse. This is what Jesus said. "I've been coming to look for fruit on this street and still haven't on this tree and still haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" That's pretty serious. That is pretty serious. Cut it down. So he said, well, how can we be productive? What? And I gave you, I told you I had four secrets of a productive life. And I only gave you one last week. And I said, I must cultivate some roots. And I remember I said some deep roots. We went to the verse talking about a tree planted by the water. It has to be near the water. It has to be deep. So that in the droughts, it'll survive and it'll thrive. And bear fruit. Bear fruit. And you can only do that by getting connected with the church family. That's why it's important what we do here on Sundays. But it's even more important that we get into small groups. That we become accountable to some folks. Now, real quick, we're going to jump into this. I'm not going to keep you here long today. We got a celebration goodbye we're going to go to afterwards, But the second secret of a productive life is this, filling in your blanks. I must eliminate the weeds in my life. I must eliminate the weeds in my life. I wanted to give you some time to write that down. I must eliminate the weeds in my life. If you're going to be fruitful, it's not just about deep roots, but you and I, we got to eliminate some weeds in our life, because this is what margin is all about. And Jesus illustrates this in the parable of the sower and the seeds. Remember, the farmer went out and spread the seed on the lands, and there was four different kinds of soil, which really represents four responses to God's word. What it is four different kinds of heart conditions. There's a hard heart, there's an impulsive heart, there's a crowded heart, and God's heart. Luke 8:14 says this, The seed is the word of God. The seed that falls among weeds stands for those who hear. But the worries and riches and pleasures of this life crowd in and choke them, and their fruit never ripens. You can't just plant a seed. You gotta remove the weeds. What Jesus is saying here is that there's some things in our life that are choking out our productivity. You get it? We got some things that are choking us out. So I want you to start thinking about some things. What are those things that are choking out the fruitfulness of your life? What are some of the things? If something comes to mind, write it down. Because you'll forget it before you go to work tomorrow. What are some of the things that are choking out the fruitfulness of your life? And those are the weeds. You may go home this afternoon and do some weeding in your life. That's margin. Remember what margin was? Making space to slow the pace so that I'm more productive. You ever notice something? How many gardeners we got in here? Whether it's vegetable flowers or whatever. You ever notice that weeds grow easier than the stuff you want to grow? Every time. They grow easier. What are the weeds in your life? And the weeds in your life are anything that hinders, limits, or chokes out your growth. Limits, hinders, or chokes out your relationship to Christ. Hinders, limits, or chokes out your ability to develop. Amen? What are the weeds? Guys, to maintain your success, to maintain your productivity, to maintain your fruitfulness over the long haul, and to make it to the finish line, I'm talking about a fruit that lasts, you got to have an attitude of continual weeding. Weeding. And continuous learning. That's why it's important what we do here. Continuous learning. The weeds crowd in and they choke. How many times has that happened in your schedule? Where weeds crowded in and they choked your daily schedule. Or you've got so many activities, you got no energy. You got no energy to read the Bible. You got no energy to be in a small group. You got no time for church services. And you skip the stuff that builds you up. I tell you, if you've never been here before, I'm not here to tear you down. I'm here that Lord had told me a long time ago that I'm here to build you up. That God's in the building up business. And we're in the building up. But if you got weeds and you got no root, you're going to dry up. And guys, me and you, we need a sense of balance in our relationships. We need a sense of balance in our careers. A sense of balance in our hobbies and our work, our personal life, our private life, our character and our career. We need a sense of balance. And the balance comes in having spiritual, mental, physical, and emotional growth. And it comes from weeding. Well, what are the weeds? Weeds are the concerns and the interests that take the time and energy that keep us from bearing fruit. Keep us from bearing fruit. Like if you don't have time to serve the Lord, then you're too busy. You're too busy. And I'm going to tell you something. This is because I love you. You need to watch out. Because if you don't do some weeding in your life, God will. You need to be careful. God will do some weeding in your life. Here's a word of caution that you can write down. I read it somewhere. I wished I'd have made it up. But it says, beware of the barrenness of the busyness of your life. Those are good words. Beware of the barrenness of the busyness of your life. Jesus mentioned three kinds of weeds.
in that verse. He said, first, what are you worried about? Your worries will choke everything out. Your worries will choke your fruitfulness out. Then he said, riches. You see, money can be a weed. Or you can write this, greed can be a weed. Greed can be a weed. It can consume your life. Some of you guys are at a point in your life, you're so busy trying to make a living that you don't make a life. Greed can be a weed. And the third kind of a weed that he writes in the scripture is pleasure. You're chasing the good life. You're chasing the fun and experience. Guys, I want to tell you something. Recreation can be a weed in your life. You're not going to learn about the Lord. You're skipping church to go to the lake. That hurt. You're skipping church to play ball. Bam! We're skipping the good stuff to feast on the temporary. It don't take, any of you gardeners know, it doesn't take any effort to grow weeds. You look into a garden, this is what Bill Hamby taught me, weeds are a sign of neglect. If your garden's full of weeds, you ain't been in it. Weeds are a sign of neglect. Are you neglecting your quiet time? People tell me, I ain't got time for quiet time. Go to bed a little earlier and get up a little earlier. You need some things to keep yourself balanced in your life. You neglecting your relationships? You need to weed some things out. In Luke 14, Jesus gives us a parable of a great feast. He tells his servants to invite all these people, these friends of his, and they began to make all these excuses. Well, verse 18 says they all began one after another to make excuses. The first one said, I have bought a field and must go look at it. Another one said, I have bought 5 pairs of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Another one said, I've gotten married, and for that reason, I cannot come. Please accept my apology. The master gets mad. He tells the servant, he says, I tell you what, just go out in the streets. Just go out there and just invite everybody, whoever you run into, so my house will be full. Well, let's look at this first guy that turned him down. The first guy lets his investments choke out the productivity of his life to go into a feast. He said, I done bought a field. I got to look at that. Is that you? Your focus is on your investments? And they're choking out the fruitfulness of your life, the productivity of your life? You're saying, well, I'm going to wait till I get into a certain place and then I'll serve the Lord? Is that you? I'm going to wait till I'm financially secure? The second guy says, I bought a pair of oxen. Oxen. Is that you? When you say I bought a pair of oxen, well, my career comes first. I can't serve the Lord now because of my job. I bought a couple of oxen. Then the third is, I just got married. Are the relationships holding you back from serving the Lord? Are relationships holding you back? Any of these three, investments, career, relationships, could, if we let them, keep us from being in the will of God. And they can keep us from being fruitful and productive. Now, I spent more time than I thought I was going to on that. Let's move on. Number three, I tell you this. I was purging my own self. I was sitting in my office. My office is nothing but clutter. It's awful. People give me stuff and I just keep it. I got stuff all over it that means something sentimental to me. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And guess what? I got so much stuff I can't find nothing. It takes me longer to work my sermon. I told Angie this morning, I said, after Laura's thing, I'd like for you to help me do something. She said, what? I said, I want to get rid of this stuff. I want to throw away a whole bunch of stuff. And every bit of this stuff means something to me, and so I want you to do it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. I said, just help me do it. Just help me do it. I got 6 shirts that look just alike. Why? Why? I got trinkets and doodads, and it's now called crapola. You know, anyway. So I'm doing some stuff. I want to be more fruitful. Number three, I must cooperate with God's pruning in my life. I must cooperate with God's pruning in my life. I'm going to say it again. I must cooperate with God's pruning in my life. John 15, 1 and 2 says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He lops every branch that doesn't produce, and he prunes those branches that bear fruit for even larger crops. Pruning. Pruning means not just cutting off the dead branches, but also the living branches. To improve the shape and to stimulate growth. That's what pruning is. Pruning is absolutely essential for productivity. Whether you're a mom, teacher, business person, or student, pruning is essential. I'm about to prune my office. Because to prune, we can't get timid when we go to cut back what needs to be cut back in our lives. What do you need to cut back in your life? What do you need to not be timid about? What do you need to cut back? Because here's the lesson I think we should all learn in this. God says, I prune you for effectiveness in your life. And it's not always the dead wood that I'm going to cut off, God says. He says, sometimes I'm going to cut off areas of success. I'm going to cut off areas that are fruitful right now. You know why? Because he's preparing you and I for even more productivity. Even more fruitfulness. In the prime of a successful life. Health problems. Or maybe you're just feeling out of it for a while. You know what? You may be in a period of pruning. And the purpose is for even more fruitfulness. And when you're going through pruning, it's never fun. When you're going through pruning, it's never fun. When you're going through pruning, it's often confusing. But I want to tell you, through that not fun and confusing time, just remember that there will be greater fruitfulness. Greater fruitfulness. I always think of that. My mother told me, and y'all probably did too, Sonny, it's going to hurt me worse than it's going to hurt you. Really? How come I'm whelping up and you ain't? Amen. You ain't cutting the blood out of yourself. You cut the blood out of me. Then as an adult, I'd say, God, why did you do this to me? God, why did you do this to me? Why did I lose my job? God, why did my spouse leave me? Or why did my spouse die. Why did this have to happen to me at this time? I want to tell you, it's a huge mistake when we think of pruning as punishment. Never confuse punishment with pruning. You get it? Write that down. Never confuse punishment with pruning. Pruning is for the future. Punishment is for the past. That's good enough to write down, folks. Pruning is positive. Jesus Christ took our punishment. Pruning is positive. The reason why it's positive is God sees potential in our life. He sees potential, and He needs to prune us to bear better fruit. And it takes pruning. You know how God prunes, I believe, probably in a lot of different ways. But I believe there's three general categories. Problems, pressures, and people. He prunes me a lot through people. Through critics. You know what people do? They attack you. They misunderstand you. They misjudge you. But here's what I want to tell you guys. There is no circumstance that God cannot use in your life to help you grow if we will just learn to respond correctly. To respond correctly. I don't care if it's some disappointing illness, some lose your job or relationship or a breakup or even death. God can and will use all these things. Even when we bring them on ourselves. Because it doesn't matter the source of our problems as much as it is how we choose to respond to them. Doesn't matter the source. Why does God prune us? Hebrews 12:11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Can I get a big amen?
Amen.
No discipline seems pleasant. Oh, thank you, Mom. That felt good. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. You see, it's for our benefit. No discipline seems pleasant. And tell you what, it really ain't even pretty. Yeah, a pruned tree is ugly. I just had two trees pruned. Done a little early, but it's getting on my nerves. But they are ugly. But in a couple of years, they're going to be pretty with new blossoms. They're going to be beautiful. But I'm going to tell you something about God's pruning. God's pruning in our life can fail if we don't cooperate with it. God's pruning in our life can fail if we don't cooperate with it. We got to respond by trusting Him. Trusting Him. One last secret to fruitfulness. I think it might be the hardest. I must patiently wait for and expect a harvest. I must patiently wait for and expect a harvest. Because I can't stand to wait. I must patiently wait for and expect a harvest. You see, growing fruit takes time. It takes time. John 12 says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life will lose it." Growing fruit takes time. You and I, we're going to have to go through the waiting process. Nothing is more uncomfortable than going through the waiting room of God, especially when you're in a hurry and He ain't. Because guess what? He's in control. You ain't. And it's uncomfortable. But let me tell you something. For you and me to be effective and to be productive, to be fruitful in life, There has to be a dying to our old nature. There has to be a dying to our old desires. There has to be a dying to our old plans. There even has to be a dying to our old ambitions during the waiting process. Do y'all get it? That's hard. Do you hear me? Growth takes time. But there's a dying process while you're waiting. A dying process. But I want to urge you, don't give up. Stay plugged in. Hang on. John 15 says, Jesus said this, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man what? Remains in me and I in him, he will what? Much fruit. But apart from me, you can do how much? Nothing. Nothing. Remain. Don't give up. Pray. Wait. Expect. God will reward you in the proper time. In the proper time. So, if you're not seeing any spiritual fruit right now, you just might be in the waiting stage. I know you don't like it, but you can't do nothing about it except respond correctly, to cooperate with the pruning and trust Him. It's going to be better. Hang in there. Your life just may have been dormant for years, and you've given your life to Jesus Christ. I'm asking you, as a pastor, to work on these four things. You see, some things aren't necessarily wrong. They're just not necessary. Just not necessary. I've given you a lot to think about. Cooperate with the Lord's pruning. Wait. Just knowing that there will be a harvest. Let's pray. Jesus, it's hard to say I thank you for the pruning, but I do. Seems like in my 57 years I've been cut on and whacked on so much by you, but I've seen the fruit from it. It helps me to wait. When I go back to my journal and I write it down, Lord, I thank you for allowing me to do that. And I see where you've come through, where your fruitfulness shows up. Thank you, Lord, for the 57 new people coming to see you. Going to live with you. Going to follow you. That's fruit. And I pray for the people now that's going to come and come alongside these 57 people. Disciple them. Help them to grow and know you more each day. And Lord, today, somebody may not know you here today. And I pray that they would begin that journey today. That they would lay it all at the altar or where they're standing. And Lord, maybe there's someone here today that they've just been kind of stagnant. They're not growing. I pray that they go home today and think of, what do I need to prune so that my life would be a little more productive? That what I've been putting off to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, there may be some here waiting. I pray for patience for them. Lord, I ain't praying it for me, I'm praying it for them. Let them grow while they wait. Let them die to their own selfishness while they wait. I pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.